Are you considering what high school your student may attend? At Reading School of the Arts, we're exploring the possibility of a new high school. An informational meeting will be held January 29th, 6:30 p.m. at RSA, located at 955 Inspiration Place in Reading. RSA is gathering information from our community and exploring partnerships with Shasta Community College to determine if there is a need for a small, early college high school. RSA remains dedicated to the mission of interdisciplinary instruction, visual and performing arts, and development of multicultural understanding through language study. 9th and 10th grade students would attend school 5 days a week on campus. 11th and 12th graders would take a combination of on-site classes and Shasta Community College classes, allowing them to pursue career options and earn college units prior to graduation. The meeting is January 29th at 6:30 p.m. Call 530-247-6933.
Been home about 6 months now, and I still have my doubts. Well, I'm not sure how I got here or how I'm gonna get out. Well, my mama says I look the same as I did before I left, but if she could see inside of me, it would scare her to death. I can still taste the powder from the barrel of my gun, and I can hear my sergeant screaming, "Run, soldier, run!" And I can feel the backpack on my shoulders, got it weighed a ton, and I see death in every single thought. Well, they taught me how. Put that uniform on, I just can't get it off. Last Saturday they honored us in a small parade downtown, and when they shot off those fireworks, I nearly hit the ground. And while they smiled and cheered for us, all do stare, 'cause part of me is here at home, but part of me is back there. Well, I can still taste the powder from the barrel of my gun, and I can hear my sergeant screaming, "Run, soldier, run!" And I can feel the backpack on my shoulders, got it weighed a ton. I can still taste the powder from the barrel of my gun, and I can hear my sergeant screaming, "Run, soldier, run!" And I can feel the backpack on my shoulders, got it weighed a ton. And I see death in every single thought. Well, they taught me how. Put that uniform on, I just can't get it off. Well, the devil's won some battles, and he may win some more, but don't he know the American soldier will always win.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. My guest this morning is Mark George, United States Army, and he was with the first Old Ironsides, which is Armored Division during Desert Storm, and he is now the director for the Northern California Veterans Cemetery. I almost want to say museum, but it's the cemetery out there at the Igo location out in the middle of no place. But it's, you know, we call it Arlington West out there. And I after going to Washington, D.C., doing the honor flights and being at Arlington for so many times and then coming home and then interring our veterans there, it is our Arlington West here in our Northern California. And we want to go back. We were just talking before the break about this, your service, United States Army, what you were doing when you were getting ready to go into Iraq and in the battle that you were with. Tell us a little bit more about being in the tank and doing your job, firing down range, and what it felt like to be going from the inception of, hey, we're gonna go to war now. Hey, we're in our vehicle. Now we're traveling forward. Hey, now we're getting ready to meet the enemy. And then, like we just talked about with the song, The Soldier's Memoir, how we are taught to go in, we fight, we do our job, we come home, and it's really hard to take that uniform off sometimes. And to get that out of, we take the uniform off, but it's still in our minds. It's still in our heads, and certain things just bring us right back to where we were when we were engaging the enemy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I noticed when I came back from Desert Storm, it was actually about 6 months after, it was not even the 6 months, because we got back to Germany in May of 91, and I came home in right at the end of June, first part of July of 91, and just in time for 4th of July. And the sounds and sights of the fireworks that year were absolutely so much different for me than they ever had been, because the boom of that firework going off and then the sparks of it. I mean, the people that I've talked to from seeing the tank battle that I was in, the sight of a tank exploding is a lot like a Roman candle when it goes up.
So. Well, when those stable rounds are fired down range, because when I was working with the 4th ID on the range there, and, I mean, you see that red streak across the sky, and all of a sudden it disappears, and then, boom, I mean, there's a massive explosion where it hits the target. And they hit the target. There's not a whole lot of misses.
Yeah, absolutely. The after-action stuff that they did from our battle, they showed that most of the Iraqi tanks that we hit had been hit somewhere around 3 to 4 times, because the gunners would shoot them until you would see that massive catastrophic explosion.
Right.
And
you showed me some of those kill shots of some of the battles that you were in.
Yeah.
And those are just something amazing. It's one thing to watch it in training and do the quals. It's another thing to watch it in real life and see the enemy explode.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we ended up driving right through that line of tanks that we had fired up. So it was, the fastest or longest 45 minutes of my whole lifetime. So, yeah, we were only there, having come from Europe, we were only there for a total of 5 months. Again, this is right after the fall, more or less within a year or two of the fall of the Berlin Wall. So they sent the European troops right back.
Wow.
So, we had some break, at least some of us did, before we actually came home to our families.
Did you have any Iraqi soldiers surrender to your tank?
I had a couple of Iraqi soldiers try to surrender to my tank, but that was probably the closest I got personally to firing off my machine gun directly at the enemy. But we waved because they popped up out of a hole.
Right.
Rat
holes.
Yeah, exactly. But we waved them by. We actually had a company of infantry attached to our tank company that would handle that portion.
So then they just waved them by.
Yeah, we just waved them past us, make sure they weren't armed or,
right,
going to do something behind us. But other than that, we would just wave them past us because we're dealing with the tank fight in front of us.
So how long do you think were you out there in the engagement area until they recalled you back to Saudi Arabia?
We were probably there for another 6 weeks or so before we started the road march back. So
that was I remember the sweep and watching how all that took place, because I was at 29 pounds. We were doing duty for the Marine Corps at that time, and I remember watching, because all they play is CNN in the military. It's just like, I can never understand why military bases play CNN when it is the most opposite of what we do in our duties.
Well, everybody has to remember that back in 1991, there wasn't a whole lot other than CNN, right, out there,
But it just always amazed me that that was what they were playing at the time. That we, even when we were in Iraq, they didn't play Fox. They played CNN. It's like, wow, what's going on with this?
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. So we're getting ready to come up on another break here. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the Northern California Veterans Cemetery. And we'd like you to, if you have a question about the cemetery, you have a question about the interment of a loved one, a military personnel, or a spouse of a veteran who's qualified, we'd like you to call in. You can ask Mark questions, or if I can help you. The phone number, once again, is 605-4567, 605-4567. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orta Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more. Orchard Nutrition Center asks, what does it mean to be local?
It's the Little League baseball team. It's a smile and a wave from a neighbor you've known for years, helping out a stranger just because it's the right thing to do.
It's a lot like Orchard Nutrition Center, caring about the people and the community that you call home.
Orchard Nutrition Center, since 1982.
We're all in it together.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Redding. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned, expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Redding. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
Never thought that this is where I'd settle down. I thought I'd die an old man back in my hometown. They gave me this plot of land, me and some other men, for a job well done. There's a big white house, sits on a hill just up the road. The man inside, he cried the day they brought me home. They folded up a flag and told my mom and dad, we're proud of your son. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best company. I'm thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace. I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington.
Battlefield Expressions, and we are talking with Mark George, who is the director for the Northern California Cemetery. We've been talking about his military duty, the time that he spent in the armored division in Iraq and Kuwait during Desert Storm. And once again, I just want to say thank you from one Desert Storm veteran to another. I didn't make it deployed into Saudi Arabia during that time frame. I was stuck at 29 Palms Marine Corps Base. Working for the Marine Corps, which really wasn't bad. It's all good. It's all part of our service. And then I did two other tours after that in Iraq at the 2003 and then 06, 07 running convoys out of Fallujah. And so when I came back from Iraq in 2007, I was dealing with all my PTSD issues and coming back from the combat zone. And one of my opportunities was to do honor guard duties at the cemetery, at the Igo Veterans Cemetery. And so between 2007 and 2013, throughout Northern California, I was able to present over 2,000 services, 2,000 flags to military families. And during that time frame was when you and I met, is when you were working at the cemetery, and then you became part of the leadership there at the cemetery as a key director, and continuing to work together to do the services and to do the different events out there. I just will say, Mark, it's a privilege to be able to work with you and to know you as a fellow veteran. And for us coming up as Desert Storm veterans, as the next generation, to be able to step up and continue to carry the mission to honor our veterans from our World War II, our Korean War veterans, our Vietnam veterans, on into those who served with us, Desert Storm and then Global War on Terror. And I think it's just a great opportunity when we can come together and we can work together as a team in our community and throughout Northern California, and to be able to make those differences. And would you have ever thought, Mark, that when you were thinking about going into the Army as a kid, thinking about your family members who served, and then you went to boot camp, that you would ever find yourself in a leadership position in Northern California like you are right now?
Absolutely not. I think at the time, you know, when you're 18, 19 years old, you barely see the marching steps in front of you, right? You know, so
it's a vertical learning curve.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the journey to get to where I'm at now was, you know, obviously life is what it is. And, when I first started at the cemetery, I took on that position after spending quite a bit of time, working for the state in another capacity. And, I started out there as a lead groundskeeper. For me, it was sometimes just nice to put my headphones on and do my job, mow the grass and trim the headstones.
That was the last break you were going to get.
Yeah, exactly. As I learned more about the position, and what I was actually doing, it took on a lot different, perspective for me. Now, when I was still active duty and I had moved to Fort Hood from Europe, I actually got selected to be on an honor guard detail when we pulled division duty, for a little while there at Fort Hood when I was with 1st Cav Division. And so I got to travel around Texas doing the honor guard details and folding the flags for the fallen at that time. So those kind of memories really came up and started really coming back to me. And when the opportunity came up to take a role in the office there at the cemetery, when the director and his basically next in command decided to retire the same day back in 2014, I decided to take the leap and see where I could go from there. And at the time, it seemed like a great time to get out of the rain, right? and the mud, you know. But I'll never forget my worst night in the actual active duty was at Fort Hood, not during the war. It was actually at Fort Hood out during gunnery, and the rain was blowing in under on the tanks. You set up a tarp basically as your tent at night, And the rain there in Texas was blowing in from every direction, and I curled myself up into a ball between the two top hatches, and I literally outside was yelling to myself, "Why did you do this?" You know.
Well, join the Army and be it. Well, you're supposed to be in the tank when right. you're out of the weather, not next right. to the tank.
Right. So, yeah, the rain and I, yeah, we have this love-hate relationship. But fast forward to now, you know, when the opportunity came up to promote to the actual manager of the cemetery, I look at that like my opportunity to be able to have a say in the direction the cemetery went moving into the future. And as that, as the first few years of that went well, Calvet looked at the future of the cemetery program and where we were going to go. In 2016, we opened the newest Calvet Cemetery, which is at the former Fort Ord.
In Monterey.
In Monterey. They opened with only columbaria, but that was to be able to get their foot in the door, as it were, into the VA grants program for state cemeteries. Currently, their days or less starting construction on the first expansion of that cemetery, where they will actually start doing all the in-ground burials, the casketed and in-ground cremains burials. So that's a pretty big, exciting step for everyone down there.
You showed me the master plan for that. And that place is gigantic. I mean, it's the columbariums just alone. But when they start putting in the whole rest of that cemetery, I mean, it is a great big facility compared to what Igo is.
Actually, well, at the time, it looks like it's bigger. Overall, Igo will still be the big brother on the block.
Well, because we don't have all of our property developed out there yet.
Correct. If you've seen Igo in the last year or so, it appears that Igo's filling up, and we've actually gotten that question, you know, how much more time do you guys have? It's kind of a false sense because there's 24 acres developed right now, but we have 133 acres.
It covers that entire knoll that's out there.
Yes.
That's on both sides of the road, isn't it?
It does go across Gas Point. It goes across Small Farms Road to our right, or to our south, and then it goes almost all the way to Clear Creek Road to our north. Those of us who plan to be around for a while and beyond, we'll have a home there at some point.
Well, I can remember coming home from Iraq, my first tour in 2003, and being out there for the dedication when the governor was there. They flew him in there with the CHP helicopter, and he was there for the dedication. And I thought to myself, I've only been a chief petty officer for a couple of years, and coming back from my first tour, and I thought, boy, what an opportunity it would be to be able to come out here and to serve someday, because I was right in the middle of my Navy career. I knew we were going to go back to Iraq again for a second tour. I had no idea all the details of it. But I thought to myself, what a great opportunity here in our community that we have this, and yet not knowing that when I came back from Iraq, my second tour, that I would almost be there living there every single day. You know, between 2007 and 2012, we were burying upwards of 6 World War II veterans a day. We would do 6 services a day for World War II veterans and Korean War veterans during that time frame. It was the greatest period of loss for the generation, for the greatest generation of our World War II veterans who lived in our Northern California area. And other areas, too. People come, are interred here from all over the United States, not just California.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it was a privilege and an opportunity for me to be able to be part of that, because I knew that it was so critical to the families. I mean, my father being a World War II veteran, my mother serving during World War II for the Navy, how critical it was in their lives. My mother's still living at 93, I believe. And so, but the loss of Dad before the cemetery was built. He's up in Weaverville. And so, but what it means to the families in our community to know that their loved one is buried in such a honorable place and such a beautiful location, and with the chapel and now the memorial area with the other memorials that are being brought in with the Air Force and the Vietnam Memorial that are out there. And others that are planned or slated to be able to
There is a Marine Corps memorial that's in the planning stages, so we're excited about that.
I've had lots of Seabees say, we need a memorial out there. We need a Navy Seabee memorial. And they actually have one that is actually pre-made. They have one at Dixon, and the Seabees put one there at Dixon, which is the state cemetery in Sacramento.
Actually, Dixon is a national.
It is a national. I thought that was the state of California also.
No, there's still several national cemeteries in the state of California that are open. The one there at Dixon, there's the one in San Anello, which is the San Joaquin National.
Right. And I've done services there also.
Right. And
that's a beautiful location too. It's in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden you come into this beautiful location. It's no
oasis. One of my favorite things to say about the folks that come to IGO is they say, wow, you guys are really far out here. And I say, yeah, just when you think you're about completely lost, you're probably right at the gate.
Exactly, right there.
So
we're getting ready to come up on a break. We're talking with Mark George, Northern California Veterans Cemetery Director. We'll be right back.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Step right up to the historic Cascade Theater for an evening of engaging family entertainment when Cirque Mechanics returns to Reading February 11th. Part mechanical invention, part high-flying circus, Cirque Mechanics' new show plays tribute to the lore of the 1800s circus with acrobatics, aerialists, mechanical marvels, and a bit of clowning around. Don't miss this spectacular show February 11th. Get tickets at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
My mama's sitting there. Looks like I only got a one-way ticket over here. I sure wish I could give you one more kiss. And war was just a game we played when we were kids. Well, I'm laying down my gun. I'm hanging up my boots. I'm up here with God and we're both watching over you. So lay me down in that open field out on the edge of town. And know my soul is where my mama always prayed. If you're reading this, I'm already home.
Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Ron Burrows of the California Veterans Museum. I'm your host this morning. Our guest is Mark Jordan, Northern California Veterans Cemetery Director. And you're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio program. If you'd like to call in this morning, if you have any questions about the Northern California Cemetery, if you're looking for benefits, directions, information that might be for a family member, the number here is 605-4567. That's 605-4567. We will do our best to answer any questions that you have concerning the benefits for the cemetery and or for interment out there at the cemetery for military personnel and also the spouse that is qualified to be buried out there also. And so, Mark, we've been talking about the duties and everything that are going on at the cemetery and how you became in control or in charge of the position where you're at. We talked about doing services, you know, all the services that we did out there. And I was just reflecting on some of the things that, you know, when you're out there doing a service prior to the chapel, which is now completely weather tight when you're in the chapel. We've stood out there. I stood out there at attention for anywhere from 5 minutes to an hour. In the snow, in the blowing snow, in the sleet, in the rain, in the blowing rain.
In the 115-degree sun.
Just wipes and you're soaking wet because it's just dripping off in your in your choker whites for the services in 115 degrees or whatever. I've had the soles of my shoes melt off of my white dress shoes walking back to the main office. I literally lost the soles. It was so hot on the asphalt. They just melted off. I left a trail of white heels all the way back to the office.
I think I remember that as a matter of fact.
It's just, yeah, I mean, and now you've got to get another set of shoes overnight because tomorrow you're doing another Navy service. And so, and one time we were talking about doing a service out at the in Eureka for a Navy veteran, and it was overcast and it was drizzling, and all of a sudden a storm came in and the wind started blowing torrentially while you're standing at attention. It was a Catholic service, so they take longer than normal service. And on my left side, the water was running down my pant leg into my shoe, and the water was running out of my shoes from the wind blowing the heavy rain while we stood there at attention during this whole time frame. And your teeth are chattering, and you're trying to hold your composition in an attention status, and you're trying to do the best you can do for that family and for the United States Navy and that privilege. And it, you know, whether we do the services or those that are still out there that do the services in good weather or bad weather, the reflection that we give as far as the United States military and the honor for those who served our country, that's what it's all about. That's what it is. That's where that honor, where the rubber meets the road. Sometimes those families, when they come out to the cemetery, the only time they ever know anything about the United States military is when the honor guard comes out there and steps forward and they present that flag to them. That is the representation of that individual's service, and that's the final step, that final honor. And so what a great privilege to have served out there for the United States Navy with you. And what a great privilege as you continue to carry on, even with bringing in new cemeteries.
Yeah, absolutely. The next project for CalVet will be the Southern California, California State Cemetery, which will be in Orange County. It's still on planning stages. It's been the actual location has moved three times. So we've done CalVet has done or is working on now the third study of where the folks down there have wanted to put it. So the exact location.
Is it going on one of the older military bases that was down there? I know that it was a weapons station down there.
Originally, it was supposed to go on to El Toro.
Oh, it was going on El Toro. Okay. Yes. I served at El Toro also.
Yeah. But they found out that how many millions of dollars the cleanup was going to be.
Right. All that aviation fuel and oil, toxic materials.
The location for the cemetery was actually right out on the tarmac.
Wow.
So then it got changed to a strawberry farm out in a more rural, if you want to say that, for that part of the state.
Right.
But then it's been moved to a different location. I'm still there in Orange County. So, you know, we're just kind of sitting back and letting the community down there decide where they are going to finally want it. And then we'll go through the grants.
There's not a whole lot of room left down there for open spaces for a cemetery. I mean, they're really limited to what's available out there as far as with the encroachment of all of the building and the houses and the commercialism and everything else, especially with Disneyland right there. I mean, all those things. I'm surprised there's any room left that would be available for a cemetery unless it was a prior military facility.
Right. Yeah, we'll see. Like I said, we're just kind of taking somewhat of a back seat and letting the community decide, community and the local governments down there decide where they finally want to have it, and then we'll move forward.
Do you have an idea of how many interments they're going to that they're looking at?
I think it would be somewhere the same size as the Monterey Cemetery, which the complete. Size of that one is somewhere around 78 acres.
78 acres.
Yeah.
And so as we move forward with IGO Veterans Cemetery, how many do we have interred out there right now as far as veterans and their loved ones?
There's right around 7,500 up here now.
7,500?
Yes. So
and how many more can be interred until you get to the point where we're going to have to do either more columbarium or more grave sites?
Well, columbarium, we're working on that expansion now. We're working with the federal grants program. There's only about 400 columbarium available spaces right now, but when we get the expansion in, there'll be another 2,000. So we'll hopefully have that within the next 2 years. It may push a little bit further than that, but we're working on that. In-ground cremation space, we have quite a few. We actually just got done reestablishing the grass out in the front section
right,
of the cemetery.
We lost all of that for a year or two.
So we've worked real hard to get that reestablished and had the front section of that actually marked out for all the in-ground graves out there. So there's somewhere around 1,200 new grave sites marked out there. So when we get filled up there right by the chapel, we'll move right on out.
Now, do they have the vaults already in the ground, or will you have to go in there and put vaults in the ground?
So that for that section, it's the in-ground cremains. There's no vault in the ground.
Okay. Got it.
Those are direct urn burials into the ground. The next casket section will be on the opposite side of that, right in the front of the cemetery where we haven't reestablished the grass. And there will be somewhere around 1,000 to 1,200 graves put in there when we do it. And, yes, those will be preset crypts.
Is that where the CHP helicopter lands, all the way out there next to the fence line?
Well, we had them land there 1 year, and after that dust storm, we were not going to do that to them again. We have them on the other side now, back in the grass. But, yes, that'll be the next casketed section. Mm-hmm. Caskets right now, we're good to go for at least another 4 years. Maybe closer to five, depending on the rate that we get. But, you know, we'll start looking at the expansion there in the next couple of years.
It seems like there's always something new that's going on out there, whether you're working with the chapel or you have new memorials that are being brought in, like the beautiful ones for the Vietnam veterans and then also for the Air Force, the globe with the circular chrome aircraft flying around it. And then you just had a Boy Scout come in and do his scout project, his master project, and he put the flags along the entranceway and the exitway of the main gate.
Yes, that was
beautiful.
The Eagle Scout project, which Frank Kohlberg and I actually helped quite a bit Because that was a pretty ambitious project when that was Kyle Gardner when he came to us, us as in the Cemetery Monuments and Memorials Committee. When he came to us with his project, we thought it was pretty ambitious, but we were glad to take it on. It sounded fantastic, and obviously the proof is in the pudding there.
Well, I want you to know that as you move forward to some of these projects that you're doing out there, as we get ready here to break ground for the Northern California Veterans Museum, some of our entrance ways and some of the things that we have that we'll be putting in will be mirrored to the Northern California Veterans Cemetery. So there'll be cobblestone, and there'll be the flags that go along the walkways and the different monuments and things like that. So it's going to be a great opportunity for us to mirror and have that as a likewise organization to our community and to honor our veterans. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Year of the Bear, Black Bear Diner's year-long 25th anniversary celebration. Black Bear Diner first started serving up bear-sized portions of family favorites in 1995, and they are marketing this milestone with a year of tasty specials, fun celebrations, and a continued commitment to give back to the community. Stay tuned and be sure to stop by the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Cypress and Redding all year long, and help us celebrate 25 years of
Black Bear Diner.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is the second generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Redding area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Addison's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AddisonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
He said, Mama, I know you have a lot of plans for me. College in the fall, hey, I'm almost 18. I've been doing lots of thinking about a lot of stuff. Went down to the recruiter today and I signed up. If not there, then where? If not now, then when? If not this, then what else can I defend? Being gone and being scared, what else can I do? If not me, Mama? If not me, then who?
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Ron Burley, retired United States Navy Seabees. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio show. Our guest again is Mark George, Director for the Northern California Cemetery. And, Mark, you are in charge once again of the Yountville Cemetery. You oversee the Yountville Cemetery. You oversee the new Monterey Cemetery, the Veteran Cemetery, and then now also you're going to be doing Orange County as they continue to make improvements and decide exactly where it's going to be located also.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit, we're down to our last few minutes, about all the events that you have at the cemetery throughout the year and how impactful those are to our veterans community.
So we have events for Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and for Reads Across America, that national group there. A huge events for the community here. Whether you always hear about them, that they're coming down the pike or not, sometimes we don't get those flyers out right away,
right,
or as far out in advance as we like to, but it's a guarantee that we're going to have those that every year.
Annual events.
So, absolutely.
We have some really great hero speakers that are there.
You know, yeah, I mean, we've been very fortunate. We've had everybody from my friend that I grew up, early in my life that ended up being a Green Beret. He retired out as a lieutenant colonel, Army Green Beret, did several tours all around the world. He came up and did a speaking for us. We had one of the survivors of the USS Arizona come up and do speaking for us. He was on board when the bomb hit the ship and destroyed the Arizona. And you know, many, obviously many others. So we've been very fortunate to have the speakers that we've had during the different events. One thing I like to also remind everyone is that when we do participate with the Reads Across America national event, but if you donate, we do ask that, we as in the Cemetery Support Board asks that you support the local Reads Across America group, which is done through them, because we actually put out the same wreaths every year, and we keep them at the cemetery. They buy new ones. We don't actually use the live wreaths.
That saves all kinds of money.
So it saves tons and tons of money.
So when Kim Chamberlain and I first started doing the first 2 years, I went out and brought back trailer loads of bough branches of pine trees. I mean, we went and trimmed them off of every tree in Redding and Shasta County that we could find, and then brought them back and made them into real wreaths.
Right.
I mean, that, talk about a labor of love. I mean, we're talking thousands of wreaths right off the bat. I think it was like 3,500 wreaths the first year,
right,
that we did. And those were all handmade live wreaths,
right,
with a few people. With baling wire and the wreaths, and then putting all of the red bows on them.
Mm-hmm.
We've been through some major things out there.
It's been
a lot of
learning.
It has
a lot of
been.
Learning going on up there.
And we just do it. We don't get a lot of credit for it or kudos. And that's the other thing is I was going to say thank you to Frank and his team that are out there that do all of the work out there. They do all the burials. They do them by hand. They don't use lasers. They use strings. They use levels, and they do a fantastic job. He always
putting in those headstones is all string line concrete stakes and plumb levels.
And all the other cemeteries use lasers and all kinds of stuff. And Frank is still doing the old school, but you know what? It works for what's going on out there. And so kudos to Frank. I've known Frank for many years. And he silently does his job out there. He busts his butt, even though he's got some back issues and things like that. And he runs the crew. And
you know, Frank has been doing cemetery work for well over 30 years.
Right.
Yeah.
He's the unsung hero out there that makes that cemetery sparkle and look so good. People they think about it, they don't notice it, but when you walk those lines and you look at those headstones row on row, and they're lined right up, and they look good, and they're not uneven. That all goes back to Frank and his team.
Yep. Yeah, we're going through right now, actually, and doing some raise and realignment. Some of the ones that have sunk over time, or we've done replacements, they're a little too high. We're going back through and fixing all those. We have another VA inspection coming in April, so we're getting ready for that.
How do you guys stand? I mean, you guys are in the top tier, aren't you? I mean, you guys win awards all the time.
Yeah, we won the Excellence in Appearance Award back in 2013. We just missed the National Shrine Standards when we got inspected in 2015, but we're hoping to make that this time after the way they changed their inspection process in 2015 was very different from before. They sent out five different people from the VA to look at us every different which way. So we 92% was what we needed to hit for National Shrine Standards, and we were at 89.
Wow.
So we actually did very well considering having gone through that process this way the first time. So we're cleaning those up. We've been cleaning those other things up over the last couple of years.
Well, I don't know how you can stay on top of it. You have so many burials every single day, and you're waiting for all those stones, the headstones, to be able to come in. Sometimes they're delayed. Sometimes they don't come in. All different kinds of details that you're dealing with. Power outages, when everybody loses their power in Shasta County. Tell us of some of the things, the hurdles that you've had to overcome by not having any power at the cemetery.
So, you know, the power outage is when PG&E turns the power off. Unfortunately, that turns us off and shuts us down too, because of course we're on the electrical grid just like everybody else. But also when we've had the major fires, not only do they turn our power off, but they close the road so we can't get into the cemetery.
Well, then we came out with the museum and we helped to evacuate some of the, right, the key items in your offices and things like pictures and things like that, so that that stuff would be saved if it didn't get burned. So we've been key being able to work with the cemetery and help make that happen also as a team member with the community.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you know, it's been very regrettable that in some of these emergencies that we've had to reschedule burials. And fortunately, pretty much everybody has been very understanding that, you know, hey, I'm sorry, but the power turned off, so we can't get in to work.
Right.
But we've made every effort when that has happened to either reschedule or make the military honors happen at a different location.
You lose power, you lose your phones. I mean, it's just chaos. And that affects everybody that's involved with the cemetery as far as people trying to work with you.
Yeah, we're working on trying to get a backup generator put out there so that when PG&E decides to turn us off in the future, we'll have a backup generator. That's something that the VA, the National, doesn't necessarily consider when they put these cemeteries in.
So far out.
Right, exactly. So hopefully we'll get that taken care of in the future as well. You know, we're always trying to do something to either improve the operations or improve the look of the cemetery. So.
Well, it shows. It shows in everything you do as you get ready to come up for your new national awards and for the different things that you have to be prepared for. We know that your team out there is going to do their best, and it shows every time we have a service out there or every time we have an event out there. The entire facility is immaculate. Everything looks good. It's trimmed. It's tapered. It's clean. And how many places that you go to now are not, even if you go to some military facilities or to other cemeteries, they don't shine like Arlington West does.
Well, there's a lot of pride and that goes into and the dedication from the staff that obviously shows.
Mark, we're coming up on our last minute here, and is there anything special you want to just talk about real quick or anything that's coming up that you want to share as we get ready to close out the program?
Well, one thing is that in the near future, we're going to be doing a renovation in the chapel. So the chapel will be closed down for a period of time while we redo the fire suppression system in there. So we won't have that luxury of the weatherproof building.
Be out of the weather again.
For a little bit. So bear with us as we do that. But, you know, if you've never been up to the cemetery, I know it's a little bit of a drive up there. You know, stop through and just take a look, because you never really see something like it.
No, and like you said, it's like our Arlington West. It's just a great opportunity to be out there. I am privileged to have been a part of it from the very beginning and continue to support it, even though I'm not doing funerals out there now. Every now and then I get a chance to be a pallbearer at one of our veterans' internships.
Well, I'm always glad to pull you back up for the event, so you run those shows very well.
Well, we do the best we can because it honors all those that are out there, and it honors us that are still alive, that are in our community, and want this to be a success as long as we can. So thank you, Mark, for being here.
Absolutely.
You're always welcome to come back. Thank you for your military service, and thank you for your leadership in our community.
Thank you.
This is Rob Burrows. You've been listening to Battlefield Expressions. Join us again next week from 9 to 11.
We went out for beers and a couple laughs, knowing full well that every bad joke that Jimmy told.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.